For years now, we've talked about the need to integrate physicians and other clinicians into supply chain decisions. This opportunity came into light more so during the pandemic. But what does that really mean? Today, we're going to talk about how this is working out in real life for most of our organizations. Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva. And in the next two episodes, we'll examine the current state of clinical supply chain integration and what needs to be done across healthcare organizations to bring that about. Helping me do this today is Dr. Blaine Schilling. Blaine, tell us a little bit about your background and your current role here at Vizient.
Thanks, Tom. I'm a physician. I've practiced in rural Alabama for 10 years prior to starting doing consulting work. Right now, I'm a senior principal at Vizient Advisory Solutions, and I've been with the company for over 15 years. My role at Vizient is to lead our consulting practice in assisting our members develop their clinical quality value analysis and what we're referring to as our clinical supply chain integration programs.
Thanks, Blaine. Glad to have you here. So we've been hearing for years about including physician leaders in supply chain process and organizations. And all organizations claim to be doing this, but what's the reality?
So as is typical, the reality depends on whom you're asking. Mm-hmm. We've learned what we've seen when we visit with our members' facilities across the country. We found that if you ask an administrator about physician involvement in supply chain process, his answer or her answer may result in a different answer than if you were to ask a physician in that same facility. In our experience, what we've seen is a continuum. We find some of our members still continue to focus mainly on pricing. While that's a good place to start, it's really just the start. Some of our other members are seeking better pricing on standardization within product categories, and hospitals with good supply chain practices are mastering these first two steps in that continuum. Still, others are beginning to look at how products are utilized, and they focus on the best clinical outcomes. Clinical supply chain integration is that ultimate point in the continuum where clinicians can lead service lines to use comprehensive supply chain data, clinical, financial, and operational measures. They look at variation in practice and utilization, and that guides their decisions around what supplies they should use, with outcomes being the ultimate decision-making driver.
So I get it, Blaine. It's actually looking at things at multiple levels, not so much the pricing, but actually looking at outcomes, so a more holistic approach.
That's right. And the goal here is no longer to look at the price of the widgets that you're buying, right, but to actually build a case for the overall cost and quality of care and how those supplies that we purchase can contribute to that. You could argue that there are some supplies that really don't matter to make a difference, whether it's your exam glove or your Band-Aids or such. But then there are some supplies and devices and drugs and things that hospitals buy that do make a difference, that stand out, that drive quality, that improve cost maybe based on outcomes. And those need clinical input from the actual end users to make the right decisions.
Do you have any examples where bringing in physicians early made a difference?
Yeah, so for years, one of our members, the Cleveland Clinic, has been including their physicians in their supply chain decision process. They look at the overall clinical outcome. They look at the literature associated with the device. They look at the data on utilization within their facilities and hospitals, and they make a decision based on what is the best outcome for their patients and for their overall cost of care and the quality of care. In doing so, they have created a supply chain portfolio across their enterprise that allows them to leverage their spend independently from what other facilities do, even independent of GPOs or other purchasing organizations. They've kind of developed their own process. A lot of our supply chain or integrated healthcare networks, they aspire to this, but very few have been able to attain it. And the key was that Cleveland Clinic included their physicians in that decision-making process.
So I would imagine you have to share data. What kind of data do you need to share with the physicians?
So you and I are doctors. We were trained. We make decisions based on data, whether that be empiric data, whether that be outcome data. We rely on that clinical data sometimes from when the device or drug or tool was approved. And then we look at outcome studies that help us look at our everyday clinical practices and make clinical decisions based on those outcomes. So as a physician, we rely on that. So one aspect for including physicians in your supply chain process is to bring similarly formatted data at the local level. Look at their practice. Show how much their practice costs. Show what the outcomes associated for that practice happen to be, and compare that cost and outcome to their peers inside their facility. Compare that data to peers outside of that facility across the country. You know, it's interesting, as a physician, if you or I do a good job at being that physician, the universe of our experience is really going to be within one, maybe two systems in our entire career. And then what little bit we can get sprinkled when we go to meetings, maybe once or twice a year. year. And so as a result, we have a very limited view about what other people are doing across the country. And if you can bring that kind of data and recognize that other places have found different ways to accomplish things, to get better outcomes, decrease cost, if we can recognize that and find out other people have done it, then that's a good place to start. A lot of our hospital members have that data from their decision support systems. They've got clinical and financial data, and they can use it to drive these decisions about how they can adopt and utilize all of their medical supplies.
So it's using data that organizations already have in reference to outcomes, but not so much even pricing as well.
That's right. As physicians, we very rarely knew what stuff costs. Yeah. Many times we rely on the vendors to tell us how much stuff costs. We also very rarely know what financial benefit our hospitals are getting for the work that we do. We know what our own books look like. We know how much we get paid for a practice or a visit or a procedure that we do. But we don't know necessarily what our hospitals where we work, or our surgical centers where we work, what they receive. And we may not even know how our practice level impacts the bottom line of the facility that we're working in. So we want to provide that data, not just the pricing data, but the overall cost of care. And then even look down the line and see what happened with our work and how that may have impacted people and impacted our facilities down the line. So we would want to know what our outcomes were. I've been struck so many times that our physician colleagues know what happened to their patients while they were in the hospital. Mm-hmm. But many times we lose track of that. If a patient is readmitted somewhere, sometimes they're readmitted to a different service. We may not even know about that happening. And that is an outcome that we would want to be aware of if a readmission occurred, or if a patient went to another hospital, or if a patient went to another physician to get something changed. We need that data to be able to further streamline and improve our clinical outcomes. And we have that ability. Many of our facilities have that data. They just need to know how to access it, package it, and present it to the physician so that they can make those decisions.
Absolutely. But what do organizations do about physicians that get locked into their preferences or refuse to consider an alternative?
I would say that you need to engage them first. And when I say engage them, that get them interested in the process of the supply chain decision making. You want them to understand what goes into it. And the first step to do that is to meet the physicians where they are historically by understanding what previous supply chain processes have occurred and how they've impacted the physicians in the past. Our supply chain decisions are not new. They've been ongoing since hospitals and physicians have been engaged together. But the physicians have often been impacted by these supply chain decisions historically. A physician may walk into an OR and be handed a suture that they didn't even know was going to be packaged differently than what they had previously used. That's an impact. We need to understand, in engaging our physicians, understand where we have placed these physicians in the supply chain process historically and what's happened to them. And then consider the priorities that that physician may have and understand why they have these preferences. If the preference is clinical, then we need to be prepared to understand their clinical reasoning and assure them that any new process is going to be led by clinical data. We can appeal to our physicians by stressing that their expertise is needed in helping us make the best purchasing choices going forward. And we should be transparent as to why their assistance is being requested. And if that reasoning is financial, we need to be honest about that. And finally, and I think this is most important, we need to be prepared to monitor and report back on your results. Physicians gain significant career-based incentives through understanding what happened when they chose to do something, whether that be a decision-making process in a clinical setting, but it would be no less important to do that when talking about outcomes and supply chain processes. So we need to give the physicians the feedback. We ask you to help us make this decision. That's number one. Number two, you helped us make this decision. And number three, here's what happened. We saved a lot of money, or we got patients out of the hospital earlier, or we improved outcomes by decreasing readmissions. We need to give them that feedback through the same process and data that we use to bring them to the table to begin with. And the end result is that instead of making decisions and taking them to the doctors, we will be bringing the doctors to the decision and engaging them in it.
So I get it. It's engagement. It's actually activation, transparency in the data, and transparency in feedback. I would imagine also that peer-to-peer education has a huge influence on this. So I'd imagine you have to actually activate several physicians.
Actually, yes, you do. It's interesting when you bring a physician to a decision process. Many times that physician is going to develop some level of resistance to making any change, just like we all are. We all have pushback around change. Physicians no less than anybody else. But physicians' reasoning around this can be, it's often patient-focused. And they'll say, well, I do these things this way. I need this tool or I need this process because my patients are different and I need them for that. Or second, they may try to displace that decision and saying, well, look, I'm just doing what I'm told, or it's not my fault. It's the lab's fault, or it's the pharmacy's fault. That's why we're doing these things. I don't have any control over this decision. I'm just doing the things that are placed in front of me. And so when we bring physicians together and we ask the physicians the same questions in front of each other, their reactions are often different. The actions result in an interaction that says, I may do things this way, you do things differently. Why is that? And then we begin to meld and blend. What we can do then is bring together what would be a standardized care that leads to a standardized outcome, which hopefully is as good as, if not better, than what we had to start with.
For some of our colleagues, vendors really do have a huge influence. How do you deal with that?
I began floating this idea around bringing physicians to the table and making decisions around supplies based on clinical as well as financial data, clinical first. And I found that the vendors welcome the idea of proving their products clinically. They welcome that. They believe that. Many vendors believe that almost evangelically, that they don't understand why their product's not used in everybody. It's so good. But given the opportunity to prove that, the vendors are stepping up to the table and saying, yes, I want to do that. I would say that if they can prove that clinically, if they can prove their merit, we would then turn around and invite them to bring a truckload of whatever their product is to the table because we know that it's good and we've proven it to be good. So processes historically have started with price point discussions. If you bring a clinically integrated supply chain, these products now have to withstand clinical scrutiny. And then their value is measured according to their contribution to the total cost and quality of care and not just on how much their price point or how much lower their price point could possibly be.
So what are the benefits overall for including physicians in the supply chain decisions?
I think the best value or the most important value is the development of a systemic and sustainable approach to supply chain decisions. They're not just one-offs. They're not just a situation where a contract is expired and we have to make a decision on what we're going to buy in the future and how much we're going to pay for it. If you can develop this kind of clinically integrated supply chain, you are constantly looking at categories. You're constantly looking at opportunities to standardize your product purchases within a category. You're constantly reviewing the outcomes of that decision, addressing whether you need to make changes or redirect your course. So it becomes a systematic and sustainable approach. You have a physician group that is engaged and committed to the supply chain decision, not just making the decision, but following through on the decision because you've asked the physicians, what is the best thing we should be doing for our patients today? And when they give you that answer, they are actually obligated to follow through because that's what they're there to do. You can potentially improve your outcomes and you can improve the overall cost of care. And then you also develop some performance accountability by providing the feedback so that the physicians are informed of their decision and what they're doing down the line from that decision, you create accountability. And then, of course, there's the two basic things that you're trying to accomplish, and that is standardizing your purchasing categories and improving your pricing.
That goes back to that holistic comment I made before. It just makes sense. Is there a difference in how we should approach physicians, whether they're employed or independent?
I would argue that if physicians are engaged according to their priorities, it shouldn't matter if the physician is involved. It may mean to you that your employed physician may have differing priorities than your unemployed counterparts. However, many members have to find a mix of engagement opportunities and find a common ground to engage these physicians across their priority basis, because there is going to be a mixture in many places between employed physicians and unemployed physicians. So you got to find a common ground to get them to engage around.
Blaine, thanks for joining us today for part one in our discussion. In the next episode, we'll talk about getting started and establishing true clinical supply integration. And to our listeners, please join us for part two of this discussion and for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategies. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.